Would you pray with me for a moment, please? Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for this time, for this special hour of worship, and for your spirit, which we feel very strongly among us. We pray that you would continue to guide us and be within us and breathe in us your word, that we might hear the message that you are speaking to us today. Amen. So is there anyone here this morning who has never made a promise? No one? How about, is there anyone here who has made a promise? Okay, pretty good. See if any of these promises sound familiar to you. I'll take out the garbage, I promise. I promise I won't leave you alone. We'll go to Disney World someday. I promise. I promise this won't last forever. Has anyone here this morning experienced a promise that has been broken? A broken promise is heartbreaking. When we make a promise, we understand that the words we are using have more weight to them. They're not trivial, but yet promises have been broken. I was introduced to the pinky promise by my children. Apparently, the pinky promise is the ultimate promise and must have been created due to the fact that promises are indeed broken. The pinky promise, believe it or not, is traced back in this country to 1890. And the definition says that it is a promise that cannot be broken by crossing fingers or other trickery. Human beings love a good loophole to get out of something, don't they? We see it in contracts, work arrangements, divorces, and all kinds of things. The creation of the pinky promise tells me that at some point there was a person who was tired of being lied to by people in their life and tried desperately to force them to keep their word. In Japan, which is where the pinky promise originated, if someone broke a pinky promise, they would lose their pinky. A very serious consequence for sure. Our human desire is for people to be honest and forthright with us. We want to trust others. We want to believe someone when they tell us that they love us. When they tell us they will always be with us, but somehow in the back of our mind, there is this glimmer of doubt because we have had experience of people breaking their promises. So it's no wonder that in chapter 12 of Genesis, we find Abram, God giving Abram the promise of many descendants. And then just a few chapters later, Abram is questioning God's honesty. We hear Abram say, "What will you give me? I have no heir but a slave." But the unspoken, implied words are, "God, you have given me nothing that you promised. I am childless, and therefore I will have no descendants." If Abram were talking to another human being, the response he might hear might go like this: "Don't you believe me? Didn't I tell you I would provide you with descendants?" But instead, Abram hears God say, "Do not be afraid." Those very famous words that we hear throughout the Bible, and this is the very first time that we hear them in this story with Abram. And this phrase will appear in the Bible at least 99 more times. Apparently, we need a lot of reassuring. So the unspoken text here from God is, "Abram, you don't have to worry. I am trustworthy. I promised you descendants, and descendants you will have." Then, as if to soothe a small child, God tells Abram to go outside and look up at the sky. And reassuringly, God whispers, Do you see the stars, Abram? Your descendants will be more than these stars. I promise. Be patient and wait for me. That was all Abram needed, was that little bit of reassurance. And immediately he let go of his worries and his anxieties and gave it all up to God and believed everything God had told him. Abram didn't need God to prove what was going to happen. Abram believed it because God told him so. In due time, or in God's time, Abram did have a son. And Abram did become the father of a great nation, whose descendants are you and I. So let's go back to chapter 12 for a minute, to that original promise. It isn't only about descendants. God tells Abram to leave his home and all he knows and travel to a new land that God has chosen for him and told him he would be blessed. And just as Mary really eloquently displayed for us in our children's sermon, that really took some faith. Think about leaving everything you have and everything you know to go somewhere you know nothing about. God chose him. God chose Abram. And as a result, God blessed Abram. But the blessing isn't simply a blessing because God wanted to dish one out. The blessing comes as a result of Abram's obedience to God. Here is step one in being blessed. If you ever wondered why some people are blessed and some people aren't, step one is being obedient to God. There's no negotiating, no compromises, no asking of proof before I pull up stakes and travel through dangerous terrain to get to a land that I know nothing about. There is simply, yes, Lord, because you are who you are, I will do what you say. So what do you think? Sound like something you or I would do? Could we make ourselves totally vulnerable, leave everything we know and everyone behind to travel someplace we know nothing about? As a result of being obedient to God and trusting God completely, Abram was blessed. God said Abram would be a great nation and his name would be great, and it sounded like a pretty good deal, don't you think? Abram might have thought a great nation and a great name would lead to wealth and comfort. And he would have been correct, except that outcome was not meant for him. Listen carefully to the next part of the promise. So that you will be a blessing. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What? God expects Abram to leave everything, put himself and his family at risk, for the future of everyone else? Yes, Abram receives a son, which he desperately wants, but the long-term payoff is not for him. It's for people he will never know or meet. Now, isn't that a kick in the pants? Is it any wonder that today's society, more and more people are leaving Christianity or not joining at all? Why in the world would we make sacrifices in our life so that others could be blessed? It makes no sense. And here is where, for generations, we have misread this beautiful story. This story is not about Abram at all. It is about the character and the nature of God. What we are reading about is not only a faithful man, but a faithful God whom we do not need to require to go to the extreme of a pinky promise in order to believe. This story is about a God who loves creation so deeply and desires good for that creation. This story is about a God who, when we cannot see or understand, is standing right beside us saying, "Don't be afraid. Look at the stars. They are for you." God whispers softly, trust me. I love you. I am not deserting you. If you just believe me, life will be good, not only for you, but for everyone who knows you. This, my friend, is the promise of God. It was interesting that while I was working on this message, I love to type in little Google searches, and I typed in, be a blessing to bless others. Now, of course, there were the standard things you would expect to see, such as Bible quotes, and what does the Bible say about a blessing, and what does it mean? But interestingly enough, I came across a Facebook page with 615 likes. This was enough to make me click on it. And very simply, to my surprise, the page is entitled, Be Blessed to Bless Others. And the page is filled with quotes and pictures that expound on what it means to be a blessing to others. A Facebook page. It's pretty remarkable. But 615 likes is not a very good number, is it? Not for Facebook, when they head for 10,000, right? Everybody wants 10,000 likes on Facebook. So I wonder, would you like that page? And if you did, why would you? If we want to glorify God who has given us everything, who has created everything, we must be a blessing to others. Our blessing comes from God through the way that we use the things we have been given. Take the earth, for example. We glorify God when we work to keep the earth clean, when we work to keep the earth pure, the way that God intended it to be. We dishonor God when we put harmful chemicals into the ground and the water, when we empty pollutants for the sake of money making for ourselves while others become sick. We dishonor God when we create things like genetically modified foods that produce cancer and other harmful health risks in order to create power and increase financial gain. Anytime we are worried about only ourselves and our desires, we dishonor God. It's plain and it's simple. God did not create this world for you and I. God created this world for all of God's people. The descendants of Abram were richly blessed. They became the nation of Judah, which was very prosperous and comfortable and happy. The nation knew that the most important thing in their lives was God and God alone. They praised God, they gave to God, they remembered God in all that they did, and the nation and all who were in it were blessed. The sad part of that story is that Judah's history of wealth and comfort and happiness only lasted for 40 years. Eventually, their humanity overcame their faithfulness to God, and they began to do things for themselves, and God became the afterthought. Once that happened is when things began to go terribly wrong. So I wonder what this message is here for us today as members of Cornerstone. What would it look like for us individually as a church, individually and corporately, to be a blessing to others? What would be different for us and what would stay the same? What if we were able to put our financial worries aside? What if we put our lack of resources aside? And focus solely on the fact that it is God who desired this church to exist, and it is God who has called each of you to be a part of it. What if we spent each and every moment asking ourselves, how are we blessing others so that we might glorify God and trust that God will provide what we need? What if we could have the faith of Abram, risk everything, walk on blind faith, believing the promise that God has made to each of us? It's a big challenge. There is no doubt about it. And it is one that raises many concerns. But remember those special words of God. Hear God whispering to you right now. Do not be afraid. I am right here with you. And I always will be. Amen.
Let us rise and sing.